And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to this week's Shout Out.
I'm Lara.
And I'm Andy.
And on today's show we have Saskies 5.
News, views and chat.
LGBTQ, Sex Workers, Collective.
And it's that last show of the month, so Terry will be here with a news mag.
All right here in the next hour.
Across 11 stations.
Rainbow Radio for you. The old one.
Yeah,
I missed that.
Yeah, but it's a special year this year. It's the anniversary, so you have Queer as Folk, and this was actually our backing track when we started the show.
Really? That is an education I didn't expect to receive, but that's so cool.
And we stopped it after a few years, because you have to rotate these things. But because it's a special... Which anniversary is it, 15th or... Or
20th.
Yeah. I started watching it. I was like, it put hairs on my chest. Let's just say
it
that.
Was. It was amazing, wasn't it?
Very feisty, let's just say
yes.
That.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I remember it very vividly. Certain scenes have burned onto my brain.
Oh, same here.
Yes. And I so wanted that black 4x4.
Oh, that was great. The one that was, it said queers on it eventually, because they just kept
which they got into a little bit of trouble over on the Prime show, didn't they?
Yes.
Jeremy Clarkson and the like.
But it was a very good show.
It was.
Say.
Groundbreaking. Yeah. So. Groundbreaking.
But you know what? I was waiting for you to hiccup.
It's like our L word. No.
You were hiccuping all the way till we went on air.
I do not hiccup for performance. I hiccup behind the stage. No, I got that under control.
Welcome to Shout Out.
Nope. I'm all good. Everyone knows I'm good.
So
what's happening
today? Did we have a nice bank holiday? Lovely and hot, wasn't it?
It was so lush. I went on a walk, I went for a picnic, I did things I would never do before.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. Like, I actually enjoyed the sunshine.
And now Hannah's on her way.
Who? Huh?
Hannah, she's on her way.
Okay.
Ah, excellent.
Hear the tumbleweed.
Storm sponsored by First Bus. Hannah.
Ooh, I love
that
it.
That was a burn and a half. Go on.
Hannah, the storm, she's arriving tomorrow.
Oh, right. Okay, you could have explained that more, Steffi.
I like to see your face.
I think we're referring to our Hannah, you see. It's a shout-out. I thought, the storm?
Well, it was her fault. Storm? She's taking responsibility fully for this storm coming.
Of course, LGBT people control the weather.
We're in April. Are we already up to H?
Yes.
It starts again each year, doesn't it?
It does.
We cause all the storms that happen.
Yeah, it's all your fault, yeah.
Yeah, no, I
it's all
am
those
a storm myself.
You were eating, isn't it?
You wish.
Well, we'll soon be up to L, so maybe you should put your
name
forward.
Storm Lara.
That'd be to be honest, I am like a storm. I come in, destroy, and
hiccup.
Yeah, exactly. And then I walk away, so you know.
You hiccup and half a park disappears.
But yeah, my hiccups are horrible, so...
Don't sneeze, I want to keep my roof.
Oh my God, the sneezes are worse. Like, literally, you can hear me in lecture recordings at uni. That's how bad it is. Like, I stopped the whole lecture at all, and the lecturer will say, bless you, because it's that loud. It's like, it echoes. So
yeah, but the lecture halls do echo, don't they?
Yeah, but not... Yeah, it's pretty bad. So I'm so glad we're out of the cold season. We're officially out of winter, we're into spring, so hopefully less cold.
Yeah. Getting warmer. It was the hottest bank holiday on record.
Yeah, but that's global warming though, isn't it?
It is.
So, can't really be that happy with it.
Can't really argue it.
No, I've been watching Our Planet and I was like, oh God, this is horrific. Like, we are actually destroying the planet. But we get nice bank holidays.
See, less baked beans.
Yeah, I mean, what can I do? I do love a baked bean though. So, what can you do?
Yeah. Well, we also love a Saski.
Oh, I do love a Saski.
Love Saski.
So, let's head over and see what she's been up to.
Saskie 5, oh yes!
Hey everyone!
everyone, welcome to LGBTQ Shoutout Radio, and this week on my Sasky 5, I have one of the stars of Channel 5's new hit show, Clink. I have, everybody welcome, Alex Deesa. Alex, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Sasky, thank you, how are you?
I'm very, very good. Listen, tell me about the show and your character, what can people expect?
Right, so Britain's new women's prison drama, a la Bad Girls, Wentworth, for people who have watched that.
Oh!
You can expect an absolute roller coaster. From the moment I read the script, started off with the first three episodes we were given when we started filming, and since then, week after week, we kept getting them through, and honestly, I could not believe what I was reading, so viewers are in for a lot of surprises.
Oh, gosh.
And also, some fantastic other actresses.
Yes,
in the show,
great cast, isn't it?
Amazing talent, yeah.
You've also got the my other showbiz pal, you've got Alicia Io, I believe, in the show.
Yes, the lovely Alicia who played Denny in Bad Girls. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Yes.
Viewers are too.
Oh my gosh, listen, I'm on the edge of my seat as you're saying all these names. You know that, don't you?
I know. It's amazing. Like, honestly, and the amount of out women we have on the show as well is incredible. Obviously there's Alicia, there's Jake Hazelgrove, Lou Caulfield, me, other actresses who I don't necessarily want to name just in case they aren't out. I'm sure they are.
Yeah, you'll be getting sued left, right and centre, wouldn't you? The thing is, that taking that into consideration, though, that must have been really nice to feel more homely in terms of being out. And
I've never experienced that in my career. I've been acting professionally for 4 years now since I graduated drama school. And I have never been on a job with this amount of, well, women, first of all, not just in front of the screen, but behind the camera. And then out women. And it really made me feel at home. I think it's so important to have role models and to show that you can be out and successful in the industry and a person of colour with Alicia as well.
Yeah.
Because that's what I am. That's, you know, I've been lucky to have half a career.
Yeah, exactly, and that's it, and it is really important. I mean, taking that into consideration and thinking about intersectionality, I love your character, because not only are you in prison, but you're also a Muslim, a person of colour, a woman, all that in itself could be seen as quite controversial, you know, so therefore, when playing Amira Khan, I love the character Amira Khan, did you feel an added pressure with representation, or was it quite empowering?
I absolutely felt an added pressure. There is always a weight when you're playing someone from, I guess, a different community, the weight of representation. So actually, I think all of the inmates are based on real people, on research that the story developers did. So when you're portraying someone, even an aspect of someone that's real, there is a real responsibility that goes with that as well. But absolutely. I play a lot of Muslim characters. I have done in my career so far. So I always feel the weight of that and take that very seriously, because there's a lot of negative press around Islam.
Yeah, definitely.
So I feel a responsibility to that community. And obviously, woman of colour, I just am one, so I kind of feel okay about playing one.
Yeah, of course. No, that's great. Yeah. That's great and important.
Amiri is fantastic because she's in prison for death by dangerous driving. She was drunk driving. So that and being Muslim as well, it's a very controversial storyline.
Oh gosh, I cannot wait. So, you know, you're also an out and proud lesbian, which is another reason why I wanted you on my show, because I you know, it's my celebs and regs and you're my celesbian, you know,
love
fantastic
that,
you know, but you're also a writer and a producer, aren't you? So tell me a quick bit about that.
Yeah, so I do a bit of writing, currently finishing several short films that I'm hoping to get made next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just produced, I'm in post-production at the moment for a short documentary about being LGBT and religious.
Great.
I grew up as a Catholic, so that's really important to me. I got married last year. My wife's going to kill me.
You're in a lot of trouble for this interview.
I know, I am. So that really triggered something in my mind about, you know, my grandparents and how they're so accepting, even though they're so religious, and some might see that as contradictory, and I wanted to explore that a bit. So I did that, and I interviewed people from all major religions.
Oh, wow. Well, that's just great. I mean, I can't... I think it's really important, obviously, as we all do in this community, around visibility and representation. But as a positive role model, you know, I really applaud you for everything that you're doing, because I know that you're very much about promotion of the LGBT plus community as well. And, you know, and it is a really important important that we do use our platforms in a positive light, and also to promote the community as best we can. So, Alex, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on my show, and good luck with Clink and everything that you do. Where can we find you on social media?
Right, I have cleansed myself of Twitter, so it's now just Instagram at Alex M. Dessar. That's Alex M. DSA.
Great stuff. Alex, can't wait for Prosecco and gin soon, and I'll catch you if I don't see you.
In about 5 minutes, yeah.
And if I don't see you there, I'll see you on Channel 5. Okay. All
right.
Take care. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Nice definitely choice. Tell Steffi picked that music, can't we?
I might have picked it.
Oh, you did.
I just might have played it next week instead. <you know? laughs>
I love that song. Thank you, Steffi.
Are you going to tell listeners what it is?
It is by Rudimental and John Newman, Feel the Love. And I'm feeling the love for you today, Andy. So, yeah,
thank
I know.
You, thank you, Steffi. She's loving me.
Just about.
That's cool.
Share.
Oh, sorry. Let me turn you on. There you go.
Yeah. Does that on purpose.
Sorry, Andy. That ain't going to work. You're turning me on last.
I was waiting for that remark.
I can turn you back off again, you know, if you want. Don't you dare comment.
So what have we got next?
News.
Ooh, and we've got Terry, my favourite person in the whole world, Dad.
Oh,
so hello, Terry.
That's very kind of you. Thank you. You're mine too.
Yeah, I just want to.
So, was that for the hit parade, Terry?
Was it? Did it do well in the hit parade?
I have no idea.
Rudimental,
I
think
you.
So. They're very, very good.
So,
in the pop scene.
Well, Rudimental.
Yeah.
Oh, they're amazing.
Yeah.
They're like they're
bit not, drum and bassy.
Yeah, like they're a POC group as well, so got like a fair amount of like POC DJs, which are really cool. So like one of the first groups to be like that, as in like in terms of like house and things like that when they came out.
A real
out.
Headbanger.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you got to have a bit of that. Like it reminds me of like not reminds me, but do you know Dr. Micah? So it was at Pride. Like 2 years
yes.
ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're
yeah,
very much teacher. Very much like that kind of, and I love that kind of stuff. The stuff that gets you moving.
They're really fun to interview, actually. The music is amazing.
Oh god, don't get me started. Like
I don't know if they're there this year. There's a lot that are coming back from previous years.
I actually pray that they're there, because they actually made I've never danced so much with Michelle as I would, you know, Mitch, our right, regular Mitch. presenter. Yeah, yeah. Like yes. I've never danced so much with her in my life. It was amazing. So definitely can't wait to see them.
Going
to
be good. And we're going to be broadcasting live.
Exactly. Yes. Look forward to that, guys.
Yeah, yeah. With Uchima and BBC Bristol.
I'm actually beyond excited. So
we are going to be everywhere.
Anyway, before we run out of time, should we get some news headlines?
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 25th of April.
And in breaking news, The Advocate magazine has reported that one of the first psychiatrists who argued that being gay or gay man or lesbian woman was not in itself a mental illness has passed away at the age of 82. Richard Green was living with cancer. Green was a heterosexual researcher into mental health issues whose findings way back in the 60s had indicated that the popularly held opinion that gay people were insane or was non-empirical, contradicted by scientific research, and hopelessly cruel. We hope to have a full obituary next week.
Now, it's a month of anniversaries for our friends in the gay and lesbian press. First of all, Diva is 25 years old, and in its April edition looks back on a quarter of a century of change, during which time it has grown to become the largest and most read mag for lesbians and bisexual women in the whole of Europe. Diva has charted the changes and continuities in activism from a time when women were taking direct action in the shape of the lesbian Avengers to the days when a gay woman, Ruth Davidson, leads the Conservative Party in Scotland and is even wanted by some to replace Theresa May. The magazine has also taken a stance in favour of trans women, rejecting lesbian feminist fundamentalists who leapt into bed with the Christian right wing to oppose transgender reforms, a stance which alienated a lot of the LGBT movement. The anniversary issue, I beg your pardon, of Diva also takes a look at the future. with the consideration of the challenges of what lies ahead for gay and bi women. With culture, news, music and interviews, Diva is at the heart of lesbian life in the 21st century.
1994 was clearly a year of innovation in the gay press, as Attitude magazine also marks its 25th birthday this month. Another success story, Attitude is today the top-selling gay men's magazine in the UK. It has also taken a more newsworthy approach to some of the other gay titles in the gay guys marketplace, and has over the years celebrated achievements in culture and politics by sponsoring its own awards ceremony. It has broken many stories and interviewed international celebrities such as Robbie Williams and David Beckham, cementing their reputations as gay pin-ups, if not icons. In the 25th anniversary issue is celebratory, but also sends a note of warning that and speculations of the future, saying that the challenges of the next quarter of a century will need activism and commitment to protect and advance LGBT freedoms. Attitude retails at £5 and 25 pence at all good newsagents and is also available on subscription.
And as if that wasn't enough, we note that the veteran of gay publishing, Gay Times, will be marking its 35th birthday and its 500th issue later in 2019. The monthly magazine is a great survivor in an internet age and has been through many incarnations and changes of ownership. Today, it is a celebrator of queer culture in all its forms and has expanded from just being a gay men's publication to exploring newly emergent identities such as pansexuality, non-binary and asexual people's art and news. Gay Times costs £4.95 and is also available in an electronic format.
Eurovision is rapidly approaching. This year's Kitsch contest, beloved of British LGBT people, is taking place in Tel Aviv. Inevitably, the thorny issue of the Palestine-Israel conflict will ensnare discussion within the community. LGBT people have a wide range of opinions on the political tensions of the Middle East, and whilst they are beyond the scope of this report, we need to note that there are some gay groups who have opposed the contest coming from Israel. Nevertheless, if you are following Eurovision 2019, then the Terence Higgins Trust, the UK's oldest and most well-known HIV charity, say that they are once again inviting people to hold a Eurovision party in their lounge, local gay bar or community centre, with proceeds going to the Trust's continuing work in education, community support and prevention. Pop along to the THT website for downloadable posters and other resources. In the meantime, here are a few choice Eurovision facts for you. Did you know that many political protest songs have sneaked into Eurovision, including one about the rights of the Lapland native peoples and another attacking Russian President Vladimir Putin? Did you also know that along the strong traditions of diversity in Eurovision has irritated reactionary democratically challenged states such as Russia and Azerbaijan, leading to speculation that the countries would organise their own song contest to promote heterosexual family values? How terribly boring. And of course, did you know that the issue of Israel and the Arab states has caused friction before? On one occasion, Jordan's main television channel actually screened a test card rather than transmit Israel's performance. How truly bizarre of them.
And finally, in a nearly unprecedented move, all the major political parties in Great Britain and Northern Ireland have united to condemn the murder of the lesbian journalist and writer Lyra McKee, who died when a gunman believed to be affiliated with an anti-peace process terror cell called the New IRA opened fire at police during a disturbance in Derry. Ms. McKee was just 29 years of age, but had already earned respect throughout her profession, so much so that her death was featured prominently across the national media. The Guardian republished an essay written by Lyra addressed to her own 14-year-old self, which had inspired a generation of Northern Irish gay people. The I newspaper explained that the grouping calling itself the New IRA is believed to have been formed out of the merger of several smaller terror cells and was aimed at undermining the fragile peace process in Northern Ireland. LGBTQ newswire Gay Star News adds that McKee was due to address Amnesty International's Press Freedom Day, which raises awareness of the risks that journalists face when reporting from volatile areas. The National Union of Journalists expressed solidarity with independent reporters such as McKee and described her as one of the most promising journalists in Ireland, whilst the Prime Minister, Theresa May, spoke for the British government and added that McKee died doing her job with great courage.
For these stories and more, please visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
And for Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Andy Hall.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Shoutout,
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
That was an interesting track.
A good one or a bad one?
It's very no. It was a very summary auto-tune track. So,
so oh, come on,
no shade, no
half
shade.
Half the industry tracks are auto-tune.
Oh god, I know what you're telling me.
So, but that is "Hiding All the Stars" by Chicane.
Mm-hmm, get on
Chicane's
that.
Chicane's another kind of like club filler.
Yeah, definitely. Like so, good old
been
banger.
Around for a while, Chicane. I'm sure.
I'm sure you'd know that more than me.
Well, I think 90s.
Well,
was
yeah,
Chicane, was it
when I was born?
Am I right? You might have played this out. Am I right? Was it 90s?
Yeah,
I thought so. So anyway, I've been hearing several guises before, but Mark Fabrash is back with us along with Mary. Hello to both of you. You are here from the LGBTQ Sex Collective. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Does one of you want to tell us what that means? What it is?
Yeah, so we are we're based in Bristol, so we go by the name of the Bristol Sex Workers Collective, and we're like an advocacy group who works with and for people who work in the sex industry.
Right.
We've been going for about a year and a half, 2 years now, and we started really kind of serendipitously, luckily, because a number of people were in touch with the English Collective of Prostitutes, and I was heading up a local project working with men who sell sex, and we managed to just kind of meet and form this thing to then carry on the work of both of the things that we were doing.
So what many people don't know is the fact that prostitution or sex work isn't illegal.
It is not.
So the Sex Act of 2003 has nowhere in it that says that it's illegal. It's just soliciting and, effectively acting as a pimp is illegal. So can you tell me more about that? So why do people have these views that it is an illegal act to do prostitution?
Well, probably because it was.
Well, it was, but, obviously it's changed now, isn't it? So, it's a common misconception. Do you get that a lot, that people think it's still illegal, or...?
You do. A lot of people do think it's illegal. I think it's partly to do with the same reason that a lot of people, LGBT people, are made to feel bad about the sex that they have.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a normal kind of church-approved sex, and therefore it's dirty and wrong, and the people that do it are wrong.
Mm. But it's one of the oldest trades. It's been around for 3,000 years, hasn't it? So it's amazing that these opinions are still upheld. What particular problems do LGBTQ sex workers face, do you think?
I think that LGBTQ sex workers, particularly trans sex workers, a lot of trans women are sex workers or higher within the population, that's the word. And because it can be harder for trans people to find work, and a trans person's existence can be quite expensive, at least to kind of inhabit the body that they want to manifest. Sorry, I'm not very good today, apparently. So the prejudice against trans people can lead to a lot of violence.
It is a well-known thing, isn't it? People get into it because of the money that it can produce. And is that a myth or is that true? Is it an industry where you can earn more money and it's one of the reasons people get into it?
I think it also has, a lot of freedom of time.
Right.
Like, I think it's possible to earn money in a way where you don't have to use all of your time to kind of like be doing that, which means that you can put time into other projects that you want to put your time in. You've got time for children, or if you don't have such good health, you don't have to work a full-time kind of way, which I think can fit lots of people's lives better.
So what are the issues, and why have you formed the collective? What are you there to do to help?
So I think one of the things that happens for a lot of people is it's quite lonely. Like, you're working alone. Like, as you mentioned with the act, it is legal, but there are things that are not legal. Like, working in a house with multiple workers in is illegal, even though it is safer. And
which is strange.
It's very strange.
Legally, it's considered a brothel.
Yeah.
Right.
The Brothel Act is also part of it.
But it's safer.
Yeah.
And we know that from other countries.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know. And there are cases where you'll have two people working from a flat and they'll both be arrested for pimping each other, despite the fact they're both independent workers that are choosing to work right. more safely from the same space.
You see, it just rings bells of some of the things that we've had, like the famous Spanner case that we had, where three people got it was when it was illegal for you to have gay sex if there was more than two people in the house, and I think one of them was filming it, so therefore they treated it as a threesome and prosecuted all three of them. It's silly little rules like that that it doesn't sound very protective.
No, it's not protective, and it definitely is kind of like causing more harm and more stress for people. And that's not good. And I think also people are very lonely, and I think one of the things that we want to do is help people to kind of like meet other people working in the industry so they can support each other and share stories of work in the same way that anybody that's working together would. It's a good way to kind of like connect with people.
What kind of things would you encourage as in for safe practice? So because they don't have, a lot of sex workers don't have that safety of having in numbers, how would you go about advising them to be as safe as possible? Because obviously we have friends that are, and again there might not be conversation around it because there's still that stigma, but obviously as a friend I'd still like to advise them to be as safe as possible, but I have no idea how to like give that information. Do you see what I mean? Because there's nothing in the UK that's really been that proactive in, I don't know, promoting that kind of side. Do you know what I mean? So what kind of things would you say to this collective that you are forming in order to encourage safe practice? I know it's a bit of a big question, but it's only because I just want people, if they are listening and they are sex workers, I just want them to, again, like have more advice than they would otherwise have.
One of the first things I would recommend is to try and find other people. The easiest way is to contact us, and we'll be able, even if people aren't kind of based in Bristol or in the Southwest, because we do cover like the Southwest and up to Cardiff kind of area as well. We're labelled Bristol, but we kind of go around the Southwest because
typical.
Yeah. To find other people, and then you can share like safety advice, and also just be able to vent, find someone that they can vent to, because that's really good for your mental health. Mm-hmm. It can be a kind of quite
therapeutic.
Yeah. And the work that you do can be kind of, you know, the thing that you need to vent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the whole safe sex message also comes into play, doesn't it? You know, if you're going to be in that industry, play safe and get tested very regularly too. This is something that we would say, you know, across the board, full stop anyway, but especially if you're going to be in that industry, it's one of the most important things to do.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend to be aware of your sexual health. I don't know if I'd go so far as to say that you have to wear a condom every single time.
No.
Just because some people
There are multiple ways of there's no such thing as safe sex, we say, don't we? You can practice safer sex, and there are many different ways you can do that, including, as we know, things like PrEP, for example, is one, you know, which helps prevent HIV if you're not using condoms. I'm not going to sit here and say don't use a condom.
Yeah.
You should, but...
So can you tell me a little bit more about your collective, though? So, like, what do you kind of do? Like, how do you, like, how often would you meet? Things like that. I just want to really know what about it.
So we meet a couple of times a month, normally in a public space that's relatively central. And we're just bringing back our social spaces, which is what we kind of wanted to talk about today. We meet a number of times a week to have kind of business meetings, essentially, where we talk and plan what we're going to do over the next couple of months, and pass any messages around. So if like any international, because we're part of a network, so if any international collectives have got in touch, we can pass that word around then, and we also kind of, you know, chat, have a drink or whatever. We're doing social spaces, which is about once a month in a central area, and that's where it'll be like a whole afternoon. People can sit and have a cup of tea, have a cup of coffee, get some free condoms or lube, or access to kind of, we've actually had access to like drug harm reduction supplies as well.
So where can we go? So say if I am a sex worker, where can I go to find out more about this collective and how I can go to meetups? Because surely you've made it a safe space for people to go. And like, it's not what like broadcasted. So just tell me a little bit about that, if you can.
Yeah, you can find us on our website, which is bristolsexworkerscollective.com. You can email us, which is bswcofficial@gmail.com. Or you can search for us on Twitter or Facebook.
Perfect. Oh,
brilliant. Well, it's nice because genuinely, until Lara told me just before we went on air, I genuinely thought it was still illegal. I didn't realise that the law had changed and as long ago as 2003 as well. Yeah. So, but it's also really good to hear that, that there's a support group there for it. I do wish you the best of luck with it. And
have you on again later?
Yeah, stay in touch and let us know how it's going. We'll have to catch up with you perhaps later on in the year or something.
Yes,
so.
Please.
Yeah,
yes, please.
But for now, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out podcast.
That's Pray For Me
by The Weeknd and Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar has just been awarded one of the most prestigious awards, so it's amazing that we. It's like a classical music kind of. I can't remember what the award was, but it's literally, it was one of the most prestigious ones. So
that's fantastic.
Well done to him. Mad props. So yeah, we've got Newsmag right now. So,
hello everyone.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. We're all in the studio.
I know. Lovely.
We need in the corner. Wake up.
We need a jingle, don't we, for Newsmag? We haven't got one yet.
Well, I'm not going to try and sing one.
No. Oh, Harry, none of us know that.
Although I was asked to join a choir the other day because they've got a choir. Well, everyone's setting up choirs. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
They're really popular.
I mean, really popular. I thought of trying...
there's a reason karaoke is popular, mate.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and of course, you know, here in Bristol, there's the LGBT choir Sing Out as well.
Yeah, Sing in Bristol.
Yeah. So
there's actually quite a few here in Bristol.
There's a female choir as well. There's an all-male choir. Yeah, there's,
I think
there's
my Catholic choirs at church put me off for life.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Literally,
well,
I'm okay.
You can sing, though, can't you?
Why would I be able to sing? I cannot sing.
I have no idea.
Is it because I'm black?
No, it's because you're loud.
Sure. You know I can't sing for toffee.
You can do like, because you do acting and dancing and stuff.
I do dancing, so yeah, I danced for 15 years, but singing just.
So you just assume that if you're into that kind of thing, you at least think you can sing, even if you can't.
No, I think God was like, nah, giving her too much stuff, so she don't need any more. I'm just going to give her a voice.
She's got enough talent already.
Yeah, literally, I'm going to give her a voice like a strangled cat. That sounds great. Yeah, let's do that. So that's what I've been blessed with. And the ability to talk a lot, so you know. Two great things.
Well, talking of talking a lot, this is a News Extra slot where we take some of the stories that have been in the news recently and we talk about them in a little bit more depth than we would do if it was just like normal news. And by the way, I have to
normal news.
The regular news we do each week.
I like that.
Don't got a bone to pick with this.
Sorry, Andy, you were saying.
I just like the fact that earlier you there was a story in the news and you said it's available in all these different places and electronically, and it was like the first time you'd ever heard of something being available electronically.
Yeah,
it'll never take off. The internet never take off at all.
No, what even is the internet? Never
interweb.
Oh, interweb.
The gay magazine Boys used to refer to it as the interweb thingy.
Oh, really?
When it first started. But there's so much going on, you know. I prepared loads of interesting stuff which was inspired by, because politics is in the news and there's lots of activism happening, what with the Extinction Rebellion going on in London on.
And it went on and on. It's still going on.
I believe they're finishing Radio 1 today. BBC Radio 1 reported that they've had a collective decision and they're going to suspend the protests, I think, in the next couple of days. But they people chaining themselves to the stock exchange.
And stuck themselves to the top of a train.
Yeah, I prepared sort of some stuff and hopefully in the next couple of months I thought what we could do, if anyone's got some anecdotes, is look at the relationship between LGBT campaigning and other movements, such as, you know, that we had the Rhodes movement, anti-Rhodes movement in the 90s, and then we have Extinction Rebellion now and animal rights. Because a lot of the tactics actually were actually initiated by feminist groups and LGBT groups. Do you know what I mean? ACT UP were the first people to disrupt a stock exchange. They threw thousands of fake dollar bills down to the floor of the Wall Street Stock Exchange in New York in 1988. And now we have these sort of like environmental protesters chaining themselves to the stock
exchange. Well, it glistened sort of now, you see.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, we would be. But there's loads happening, and Steph has got some really interesting news stories which are breaking on the wires, actually, and have been breaking today.
You can find a lot of this on our Twitter feed, which is at shoutout_radio. Thanks to our friends at My Umbrella, they've notified us that it's Lesbian Day of Visibility tomorrow, 26th of April.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the most harrowing things, I think, is on our newswire feed is the cleansing the gay and trans from humanity. They're looking at future gene-edited babies, and this... This scientist reckons that in 25 to 30 years, they'll be that detailed that you'll be able to gay out and trans out your baby.
Well, I was going to say,
I mean, I doubt that's because I'm a scientist. That's no, like, not that saying it won't happen, but they haven't even identified the gene that supposedly makes us gay. So
That's true. But what I'm saying is, they reckon in 25 to 30 years, the way we're going, the speed at that we're finding these things, that they could find things that define your sexuality and your gender.
That would be very interesting. Well, what do you think as a scientist, like, because it's important to have your viewpoint?
Yeah, no, I'm a chemist, so I don't want to, because this is mainly biology, but because I have studied genetics before, we basically don't even know the whole of the human genome and what every single thing does. We know a majority or a lot of it, but we don't know everything. So even if one gene's meant to make someone gay, there could be another one that makes them another thing. Do you see what I mean? Like, there's no way to pinpoint one gene for expressing the gay kind of sense, like, well, us, basically. So I find that really hard to... I think it's just giving false hope to false people, like people that are thinking that we can be cured.
Yeah, it's not written in a hope. It's written in a shock horror way.
But this is what I'm saying.
This is the way we're going, humanity's going.
But it's not the way we're going, though. Because I'm not saying it's not the way we're going, but like in terms of it's an impractical... It's not a right direction, if you know what I mean.
It's not the right direction, absolutely not.
No, but it's not any direction, because it's just like trying to find the cure to cancer and stuff and saying one gene expresses it. It's like, it's too hard. Like, I wouldn't...
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
At the same time, I do, but I also think it's good to think about these things, because the one thing that should happen from it is, in countries like the UK, it should be enshrined into law that you can't manipulate genes to take someone's homosexuality away just because it's your preference that they be heterosexual, for example. So if it never happens, great. But if it could happen, or it does happen, I would prefer personally to know that it's made illegal to do it.
What I'm arguing is that I doubt they'll be able to find one anyway.
No.
Because we haven't, in the 50 years that we've known about DNA and all that stuff, we haven't even been able to express or understand the whole genome in itself.
Because it's millions of sequences, isn't it?
And we can't understand it all. So, like,
but with computer, actually, because this is where my technical bit kicks in, and I go, I look at the most sophisticated computer today is like 100 times faster than it was 10 years ago.
Very true.
And as you start doing that, it doesn't take long before you suddenly hit a point where you can process that much data and find that much stuff out.
Because I did computational chemistry, and looking at that, it takes a supercomputer to do certain measurements, but like, looking at how they do design a DNA strand and all that stuff, it takes a lot of energy to do that. So, again, even though with the fastest computers, maybe it would be 100 times faster, but again, I do not believe, personally, that they will be able to find the exact gene that causes us to be gay, to edit it out.
I hope you're right.
And it may be, as I understand it, all traits can be expressed by a group of genes anyway, and they all interact with each other in very unexpected ways. So you start fiddling about with one thing, and something else will pop up anyway.
It's like the butterfly effect. No one knows. So even if you did remove that gene, what if that's also important to, like, helping us have, like, our blood and things like that? No one knows, because no one knows the full extent.
That said, the making of a horror movie, really, isn't it?
It's where the ethical argument comes in, because when you look at medical ethics, the whole thing about doing the most good without causing any harm is what medically we're supposed to be doing, and hopefully we will get that realization that even if we can do something that medically, sort of through medical ethics, we shouldn't do it and we won't do it.
It's just a waste of money, I feel. Like, why put all that effort into finding a gay gene when we need to find cures to cancer and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's HIV. Disease? Like, and HIV, like, why would we put that money? So I don't know, I find it hard to believe in that story.
And I mean, I think it's fascinating subject matter to discuss because when I first came out, which, you know, was not in the 1880s, as people believe, but a bit more recently. But there had been a neuroscientist. I think his name was Dean Hamer. I think that was his name. And he believed in the early 90s that he'd sequenced, he'd identified the gene. And of course, it was totally rubbish. You know, people published other papers and said, you know, actually, you haven't discovered this. He'd hoped that by proving that homosexuality was genetic, that it would actually eradicate prejudice. But of course, there was a lot of anxiety in the wake of his research that, you know, perhaps it could be used for more nefarious purposes.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting thing. But we're 25 years, 30 years on from his research. And as you say, they haven't come up with anything. It doesn't look like they will do, because perhaps sexuality and gender identity are more complex. A series of genes, a little bit of nurture, a little bit of psychology, a lot of different things.
Everything. It's nature and nurture. It's a combination of the two.
I don't know. I'm not convinced by the whole nurture side. I don't believe that my upbringing had any reflection on my sexuality, if I'm honest.
No, my mine was definitely not nurture.
No.
No way, shape, or form.
Discussion. And this is what makes it so fascinating, because it leads us into other very interesting issues, such as how early do we know we're gay or trans?
I mean, as in, like, once you establish that you're gay, like, the nurturing within that community, like, I don't know, I feel like I've become more
confident.
Yeah, like more.
But
like,
that's different. It doesn't make me any more gay.
I don't know how to describe it, but I know what you mean. Yeah, no, it's more nature.
Just very quickly, you're right. His name was Dean Hamer, H-A-M-E-R.
Well, that was well remembered. I'm quite
chuffed. He was born in 1951. Interestingly, he's known as a geneticist, author, and filmmaker.
Oh, that's interesting combination, isn't it? Well, cool. Good for him. But yes, I do remember that there was a lot of anxiety in the gay press. In fact, a friend of mine used to publish a queer literary magazine called Queer Words, and they actually dedicated an entire speculative fiction issue with some quite upsetting upsetting essays in it. One was called The Appliance of Science, and it was like, what would it be to be the last gay person in the world before they'd kind of bred out homosexuality from the rest of the population. It's disturbing, but you know, it is interesting to have these debates. Absolutely fascinating. And if anyone's got an opinion on nature versus nurture, and, you know, psychology and genetic engineering,
all the things we're talking about,
you know, drop us a line.
At shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Right, Steph. Moving on. A Polish leader is quoted as saying LGBTQ rights, an import that threatens the nation. And if you're not a Catholic, it's treason.
That's all I really got to say.
Do we discuss that? Do we need to have any more words on that?
No, I'm just telling you what the news
is. No, I'm
is.
Just saying, like,
it's shocking, isn't it? And
it's like,
somebody
it's like
could think up. Like that.
Do you actually find it shocking, though? Because being gay is illegal in so many countries.
It is. You're absolutely right. I shouldn't, after all these years, I shouldn't
find
be shocked.
It shocking. Yeah. No, I'm like, oh, another one. Like, it's the same as, like, another black boy being shot in America. I'm like, oh, another one.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not surprised anymore.
Yeah.
No, but I wouldn't necessarily go, oh, just another one. I mean, that's someone's life you're talking about.
Not just
about
another one. I mean, it's in, like, it's just, no, it's in terms of not the shooting. I'm saying as another person having that opinion.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's just another person.
And did you say this was Poland?
Poland,
this is Poland.
Yeah.
I thought Poland was
they're radical right at the moment, and Christian, so Catholic far right.
It's a party called the Law and Justice Party, which sort of kind of says it all, really. But it's on the extreme Catholic right. It's a strange
situation.
And
they're running the country,
in Poland. But I mean, I think across Eastern Europe, you know, there is an issue for LGBT rights and other minorities as well. I mean, in Russia, for example, and we have covered this in the news recently, the Jehovah's Witnesses, I know they're not gay friendly, but you know, they have a right to organise, but in Russia their assets have been sequestrated, and you know,
what's
because they've had their money taken away from them and their churches closed down. It's very, you know, alarming the way in which a lot of minorities are treated in Eastern European countries. But it reminds me of a lady I used to work with, and we were talking, she was Ukrainian, and she said, the thing is, a lot of our countries in Eastern Europe, we don't have the tradition of democracy you have in Western Europe so much. You know, the British system has taken 800 years to work. It doesn't work perfectly by a long shot.
And we do get very stuck in the past.
People aren't sort of like killing each other in the streets. Of course, in some of these countries, that does happen, and pride parades are attacked by religious fundamentalists.
Can I just say that...
I feel like it's very easy to say that Britain's like further ahead, when Britain's the reason why...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No,
I find it hard to...
Can I just say...
The way I like to think about that, though, is I hope that we start leading by example.
Another thing, no.
You know, yes.
Sorry. Go on.
No, I know exactly what it is you're saying. I'm just saying, you know, we can't correct the wrongs if we don't correct our own wrongs here.
But we're not... I feel like we're not doing as quickly as we think we are, think we are to start preaching to other countries.
No, I'm not saying we should. We need to fix our wrongs here first.
Precisely.
Before we can do anything about, you know, the past.
Can I just say that the EU have sanctioned Poland for this?
Have they? Oh, yes. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
That's something.
That's good. History is sealed. The UK House of Lords votes to approve new relationships and sex education lessons for all young people in England.
Which I think is brilliant news.
Yes. Yep.
I think that's really, really good. Because it was worrying me what was going on a little bit further up north, and the whole pulling kids out of school.
That protects that.
So. Anyway, that's it, I'm afraid.
Once again, the sounds of time has beaten us.
Thanks to our guests, Mark Fabrash and Mary.
Shout out news editor, star was Terry Starr. Sorry.
Producer, Steffi Barnett.
Editor, Andy Shilton.
Next week, we talk to Wales's very own Brett Salway.
Until then, take care.
Say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.